This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Well now, well, it is indeed a pleasure to be invited back into your vibrational living once again. We express our greetings and our gratitude to each of you for allowing us this opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. It's rather ironic that each time that we enter into your vibrational level, we receive this invitation, if you wish, to interact in your reality. For you, there's a passage of time, seemingly a small or large passage of time, depending upon the circumstances in your awakened consciousness state. And yet for our particular reality, there is no concept of time and space. It all exists in the now. We've been asked on other so-called past instances in this incarnational period if we have interacted with our friend Elias, and we would suggest that we have many times in your so-called history interacted and shared and gone through this similar participation in a communication to express certain ideas and concepts. And for each of you, there's seemingly a break in that interaction. But from our reality, there is no concept, once again, of time and space. And so when we express our greetings, and we once again express our gratitude, it's like a constant expression. It's like it never ends. And so for us, it's seemingly very repetitious, because we're continuously involved in an interaction from our perspective. From your perspective, there's this huge break in time, not only within this incarnational period where that break may be for a number of days or hours or minutes, depending upon your particular experience in your awakened consciousness state, but indeed a break that spans your so-called history in terms of being involved in interactions and transactions in your so-called past. In many instances, hundreds of years past, thousands of years past, where we have interacted with our friend Elias. In your so-called past history, our interaction at your so-called awakened consciousness level with our friend Elias is in incarnational periods in this so-called present civilization, in which our connection with our friend was very limited due to the veil that you choose to put in place. And in those particular incarnations, our friend was referred to as Elijah. And in those levels, although not our first communication by any means, but our first interaction at this level of consciousness in which you, in your awakened consciousness state, believe that you are not in control of the creation process, our interaction was quite similar in your awakened consciousness state through an altered state of consciousness with our friend who was once again at that time referred to in that incarnational period as Elijah, a name which they have used, and we refer to our friend Elias as they, because you see, you exist in all of your incarnational periods. Each of you are a multi-dimensional personality. And so we call ourselves we, because we are a multi-dimensional personality, and you are similarly a multi-dimensional personality, and our friend Elijah indeed exists in all of the incarnational periods, and we refer to them as they. as opposed to he. And so they, at that time, were referred to as Elijah. And through various steps of reincarnation to give you an explanation based upon your concept of time and space, our friend chose to reincarnate into different situations, but in many instances retained that same name or variations of that same name. When reincarnating in this particular gender, and from Elijah went to Elias, the name with which we are quite familiar, perhaps the most familiar, although many times we refer to our friend as Elijah rather than Elias. But recently, in terms of your belief in time and size, we have referred to our friend as Elias. And similarly, that desire, if you wish, to maintain some type of connection and identity with past incarnations, our friend has in this incarnation chosen to adopt and carry the name of Ellis, which once again is simply an alteration of the name of Elijah. Now, it's not something that's entirely uncommon, absolutely not. And it's not some phenomenon which is limited to one particular entity. Each of you are involved in multitudes of incarnational periods. You believe in that so-called space and time concept, and so it becomes somewhat of a stretch, perhaps, to grasp that concept that several thousand years ago you were using some type of a name or identification that you have chosen to also adopt and use throughout various other incarnational periods, and indeed this incarnational period. You exist in the now. That thousands of years ago only exists in your awakened consciousness state. All of those entities are experiencing those incarnations simultaneously, if you wish, in the now. You are a multidimensional personality that has contact and interactions with all of the facets of who and what you truly are. You are not this single entity existing within this single incarnational period. Absolutely not. And so, you exist, as does our friend Elias, throughout many incarnational periods, indeed beginning in your so-called Atlantean period, to refer to your concept of time and space, right through to the present and beyond into your future. You exist in those incarnational periods simultaneously. You simply choose in your awakened consciousness state, and indeed throughout various levels of consciousness while you remain in this vibrational level, to limit your capacity to understand your connection into realities that you're involved in, creating and participating in throughout these so-called span of history. And yet you're involved in all of it. Yes, you are. By being involved in this vibrational level, you agree to participate in the limitation of the understanding, but nonetheless, you don't alter the reality that you are the God you search for, and you create your entire vibrational level into reality. It's really that simple. And so you are involved in each of these incarnational periods simultaneously. Now, what really becomes a stretch for you to grasp in your awakened consciousness state, that it's possible for you, not only possible, but entirely probable, and in many instances actually occurs, when you are existing in two particular physical beings, if you wish, in the same time period. That becomes a stretch for you to believe that a portion of your reality, the portion of who and what you truly are, is existing in the same time and space concept of right now. That becomes difficult for you to grasp, that understanding. That there's another so-called entity that's a portion of what and who you are, existing in your awakened consciousness state in this incarnational period at the same time. And yet it occurs quite frequently. It's not something that's rare at all. What's rare is for the entity to have the capacity in their altered states of consciousness to make the connection with that other portion of their multidimensional personality and to become aware of it in your awakened consciousness state. Like, oh, I know that there's another entity, another part of me existing in this same time and space, in this same incarnational period. And yet it should be no more difficult for you to grasp that concept when you believe that the time and space contingent or illusionary than it is to grasp the concept that you existed in your past lives, that you've all reincarnated. Because time and space are illusionary. They don't really exist. All of the portions of your personality exist at the same time, if you wish. They exist in the now. And again, because of the limitations of the vocabulary, it's difficult to give you any type of an explanation that can validate that time and space are illusions, that they really exist in your awakened consciousness state. If you were to go with inside and to retain the memories of interactions that you're involved in, you would become at least to certain levels of being consciously aware that time and space are illusionary. In those altered states of consciousness, which in your awakened consciousness state, many individuals have a tendency to look upon as being the illusionary elements of your reality. In those altered states of consciousness, you can grasp that the concept that time and space are illusionary. You can be involved in interacting with other entities in an altered state of consciousness that spans several, if you wish, generations and several years, indeed centuries of existence. And yet, when you return to your awakened consciousness state from that altered state of consciousness, you realize that in terms of your belief in time and space, very little time has actually passed. And yet you, in that altered state of consciousness, once again, can become quite aware of interactions that you're involved in other incarnational periods, or in other points of time, if you wish, throughout your history. And we use the terminology history because, once again, it's easier for you to accept that you have not experienced the future, but rather the past. And as a result of the belief that you've experienced the past, even though it may be an incarnational period that's beyond your memory in this awakened consciousness state in this incarnational period, nonetheless, you accept that there is a history, that this existence, that this earth system that you are involved in, that you are creating, existed for a millennium, if you wish, before your present incarnational period began, yet you existed throughout it all. And you can, through your altered states of consciousness, have interactions with those other entities that are a part or portion of what you are, the multidimensional personality that you are. And once again, it's in those altered states of consciousness that one is involved in what you might refer to as an altered life experience, or a past life regression, if you wish. Altered life experience is much more accurate explanation, and is a result of that interaction and recall of that altered life experience. Get glimpses of another entity that's a portion of what you are, another portion of your personality that's existing in this incarnational period, in your so-called same time and same stats. It's not that big of a stretch if you look at it that way. And each of you do it. You choose not to be aware of who and what you truly are. You choose to put in place, once again, that electromagnetic type of energy that limits your capacity to understand that you are all that is.
if you apply that basic philosophy, you are all that is. You exist in each and every atom of your entire universe. Your universe is an illusionary reality that's a reflection of your beliefs. And you are absolutely in control. Then you can begin to answer the questions that you have of what's the past, what's the present, what can I have, how do I create this reality? It's really very simple. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold, without exception. You see, there's the rub, if you wish. It's without exception. You see, it's really easy to accept the so-called positive emotions that you experience as a result of certain interactions that you're involved in, and say, well, I accept the creation of that. I can understand that that's something that I would wish to create. What you have difficulty with in your awakened consciousness state is accepting the same responsibility for the realities that you look upon as being less than desirable. Then it becomes more difficult. Why on earth would I subject myself to that terrible type of experience? First of all, as we've said many, many times, you exist in this vibrational level because of the desire to experience the intense range of emotions and feelings that's not possible to experience in any other vibrational level. We've used the analogy many times that it's like attending a theater where there's a projection upon a screen and it's a trick of lights. And you understand absolutely that it's illusionary, and yet while you're sitting in that theater, you can indeed be involved in an experience where time and space seem to disappear. You can spend 1 hour of your time in that theater, and yet upon that screen there can be portrayed events that span several years. And you can, while you're sitting in that theater, experience all types of emotions, right from the most joyous to the saddest or the most horrific experiences and feelings that you can have within that time span of 1 hour, where the illusion seems to have taken much more in terms of time and space. But when you leave the theater, you look upon it and say, well, it's not real. That's someone else's projection of a particular concept that allowed me to have those experiences. Or it could be a projection of your own concept, if you wish, upon the screen. It makes no difference. You realize that it's an illusion. It's not real. And as a result of realizing that it's an illusion, the experiences, the emotions and feelings are not nearly as intense as what they are when you experience it in your real world. Oh, this is real. When I was sitting in the theater, that was an illusion. But now, this is real. And as a result of it being real, the range of emotions and feelings are much more intense, much more lasting, seemingly have a much greater impact upon your existence. And that's why you chose to be involved in this creation process in the first place. And that's why you create these experiences, these seemingly horrific experiences. They validate beliefs you hold. Now, once again, many individuals are challenged by that. You can't tell me that I believe that I should suffer some type of a terrible death because that's a desire that I had. We're not suggesting that you have the desire for that particular reality from a conscious state, but you hold consciously belief systems that you can tap into that are responsible for the creation of that reality. It's rather ironic when you look at certain aspects of a particular society that some individuals who have the feeling of worthiness, who lack who they are,
who demand to have a certain existence at a certain level of what you might refer to as being comforts, or a certain level of prosperity. They believe that it's their right. They believe that indeed they are entitled to that type of an existence, and because of that belief, because they believe that they're worthy, because they like who they are, because they like the feelings of projecting a character that for them projects an individual who is worthy of that type of existence, they sustain it. Through all types of difficulties for other individuals, they sustain it. And yet within that same society, you will see other entities who are having absolutely horrific experiences. And those entities have, in their awakened consciousness state, no self-worth. They believe that they are not worthy. They believe that it's not their right. They believe that it's beyond their capacity to experience that level of existence within what you refer to as being an affluent society. They believe that it's not possible for them to achieve that. Then guess what? The belief you hold is validated in the reality you experience. The spot of consciousness that you are does not judge whether that's right or wrong, but gives to you that which you desire without exception, and does so joyously and rejoices in the creation process. Regardless of whether it's this individual in this affluent society that seems to be having all of the positive experiences and all of the luxuries, if you wish, that your society has to offer, or it's the individual that's suffering from all of the catastrophes that are happening throughout your earth system. Without exception, the realities are validating the beliefs. And it's not that they believe that they're going to suffer from some type of a natural catastrophe, but rather that they believe that they are not worthy of experiencing a reality that allows them an experience that's joyous. They're not worthy of abundancy. They're not worthy of being involved in intimate, lasting relationships, because they don't like who they are at a conscious level. As difficult as that concept is to grasp, the reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold. And beliefs form together to form belief systems. And so we many times refer to your human consciousness belief system, or your societal belief systems, or your individual belief systems, because it's a combination of those beliefs that are responsible for the reality that you experience. And so you can have two individuals involved in the same creation process, experiencing the same interaction. It can be a catastrophe that's happening upon your environmental existence. One individual comes through the experience without a scratch, and indeed seems rather miraculous. And that individual indeed can come out looking like some type of a hero because of their actions that they are involved in. And they don't look back upon it as being, for them personally, a very negative experience, but rather they can draw from it and feel comforted in the reactions that they express, in their expression of their character and of their self-love. They can draw from that and feel emotionally lifted. While another entity, existing in that same space and time concept, experiencing that same creation process, the same catastrophe, ends up losing everything. Because they don't believe. They don't believe that it's within their capacity to be worthy. They don't like who they are consciously.
They don't love themselves consciously. And we're not suggesting that that's a necessity. We're not suggesting that if you don't love yourself consciously that you're going to have all of these problems. Absolutely not. It's a choice. You don't have to do this or do that. It's not a right or wrong. You cannot fail. You're existing within this vibrational level to experience the intense range of emotions and feelings that's possible for you to experience. And so you put in place the belief systems at some level of your consciousness so that you create that reality so that you can have the experience. And the stock of consciousness that you are, whether you are what you in your awakened consciousness state look at as being the person that's been subjected to the horrible experience or versus the person that's been subjected to the uplifting experiences, the stock of consciousness that you are that creates the reality of both entities at either end of the spectrum are rejoicing at the same level of accomplishment of creating a reality to validate a belief from a level of absolute and unconditional love. That's the irony of it. It's only in your awakened consciousness state that you look at it and question, why would this happen to me? Why would some forces subject me to such an experience? Because you choose to put in place a veil that limits your capacity to understand who and what you truly are. You are the God you search for. The reality you experience is a reflection of the beliefs you hold, and you cannot fail to come to that understanding. All of the rest, whether you look at it as positive or negative, all of the experiences in your awakened consciousness state are illusionary. It's really that simple. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
When you're channeling, you were talking about going from Atlantis, Lemurian area, to this era. Would people that they called, or we called, witches at that time, would they be people that their veil wasn't so thick that they could still kind of, I guess, kind of flutter back and forth?
What you refer to, that terminology of witches, is to refer to your history, a concept that is well within your so-called recorded history. Now, we suggest recorded history, it's important that you be aware that recorded history is not just in so-called what you have written down. You see, in these primitive societies that we spoke of, history was, in a sense, recorded through verbal repetition. And in order to make the recording of that history more viable, many of the so-called records, if you wish, the facts of the events that are being recorded were embellished with what you might refer to as hyperbole. In other words, it was much easier to pass on the history through storytelling if the story was somehow exaggerated. So you have the concepts of the creation of reality through all of your so-called primitive societies, which in many instances is quite similar, and yet it all involves what you refer to as mythology, and a hyperbole, if you wish, an exaggeration, so that it's easier to pass on the particular portions of information that entities are trying to record through some type of an oral explanation and passing on to what you refer to as future generations. And so the terminology of witchery or witchcraft or the ability to influence the reality from a conscious state was within this so-called historical period a mythology that is expanded and recorded through
many times, once again, that oral explanation and transference of information and of facts and of history. In the Atlantean periods, that so-called witchcraft, for all intents and purposes, did not exist. Because in the Atlantean periods, indeed, because of the limitations that did not exist as they do now in terms of the strength of the veil, the knowledge and the ability to create from a conscious standpoint was much greater than it is in this so-called present energy that you exist in this so-called modern civilization, if you wish. And so it's in this so-called modern civilization, through the recorded history, be that verbal or otherwise, where this witchcraft era existed. Not a transference from the so-called Atlantean period. It's rather ironic that one would look upon an entity who, from an awake, conscious state, gets a glimpse of the understanding of the creation of your reality. From the awake, conscious state, begins to understand the possibilities of creation through alteration of a belief system. And your society has a tendency to do one of two things. Either put that person down as being, as you refer to, as a witch or an evil person because they can influence their reality, or they go to the other end of the spectrum and they hold them up as being some half of a god because they did the same thing. Rather ironic, but nonetheless, very accurate description of what occurs in your so-called past history. But to answer your question more directly, no, the transference from the Atlantean period to the so-called present civilized period, this present civilization that you're involved in, did not in any way carry over a tendency which was in this society referred to as witchcraft or alteration of the energy in the creation process. Simply an entity in this particular period, if you wish, in this particular modern civilization, at some level of their consciousness becoming aware that through altering beliefs it's possible to influence your reality. The limitations are still there. Even in witchcraft, there are certain rituals that are followed because it's believed that if you follow this ritual and you do certain things in a certain manner, that the results will indeed be either positive or negative, desiring whatever it is that you are attempting to achieve. But it comes back to the basics. You alter your belief, you alter the reality. It's that simple. And the individuals involved in witchcraft, who follow all of the methods and techniques, were in many instances successful in having the capacity to influence their reality. And if another entity believed and was willing to allow, indeed, to influence another entity's reality, it's important to understand that it's because of the interaction and the agreement. It's not possible for one entity throughout your entire vibrational level to influence another entity's reality without that entity's permission and agreement to be involved in the process. It just doesn't happen. And so these so-called witches that were involved in these alterations of realities influencing another entity, that entity indeed agreed at some level of their consciousness to participate in that creation process. It wasn't one imposing on another. That never happens. It's not possible. You see, if you believe that it's possible for one entity to influence on another, then it takes away the basic concept of free will. It takes away the understanding that you create your own reality. You can't do that. You cannot influence another entity without that other entity's permission to be influenced and agreement to be involved in the process. It's really that simple. And so, once again, to simply answer your question, no, there was no carryover in terms of an understanding from the Atlantean period into the so-called modern civilization period, where some entities brought with them a greater understanding of the creation process. But rather, an entity in this time period, if you wish, suddenly grasping the concept and coming up with the belief that through certain methods and techniques they could alter their beliefs and as a result alter their reality. And once again, rather ironic that some of those entities were termed as witches and were persecuted, others were termed as gods and were put up upon pedestals and honored. A rather ironic concept, absolutely, but nonetheless quite accurate. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I was going to ask about the timeline. In, I know there's no line, it's more like a circle or a spiral, but I'm confused with the 80s and the BCs and what came, and again, we're talking linear, what came before and after, but running with the Noah's Ark thing, if that's just a fable, and the Great Flood, and did that happen again, linear, after the Atlantean and going into Stone Age? Was that how the people from the Atlantean age were not like the Lemurians, but more like the Stone Age people? How could you skip from Atlantean to Stone Age? Was there a flood that wiped out? Like, I'd like to see the circle with all the different ages around the circle, because I'm confused when, you know, Jesus was on and the dinosaurs, and I'm like, what, you know, that confuses me.
First of all, it's important to understand that your history is not written in stone. That's the irony of it. We will come back to your question, but first allow us to attempt to give some type of an explanation so you can get a grasp of that concept. You have, in this particular incarnational period, and you have had in all your so-called modern societies incarnational periods, entities who are very interested in your archaeological past. Become very interested in what occurred, to refer to your belief in time and space, 1 million or 2 million years ago. Very interested. And so they begin to hold a belief. They begin to hold a belief that perhaps this entity that you were involved in, this creature, if you wish, to use your scientific terminology, that exists in your so-called present society, has somehow evolved. And perhaps it has. You see, it's, you can have whatever it is you desire. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. And so these entities, these scientists, begin to search for proof to validate what they believe. The belief precedes the reality. It's an illusion. You can have whatever it is that you desire. And so you have these entities who believe that your so-called human species only began to exist on this earth at the level of what you might refer to as being recognizable from what you refer to as being the animal kingdom. As little as, perhaps, 800,000 years ago. And so, they begin to search for proof to validate their theories. And they will spend years of your so-called time and space in the search, in that quest to prove what they believe. And lo and behold, where they've walked 1,000 times, they suddenly find what they didn't see before. You create your reality, it's an illusion. And then you have the next scientist who comes along and said, well, I don't think that was the beginning. I think it began a million years ago. And so they begin walking in the same spaces, begin looking in the same places, because you believe that that's where the origin came from. And lo and behold, what do they find? Proof that there it was a million years ago. The reality you experience is a validation of the belief you hold. The past is as changeable as your future. You do change it on a regular basis. You just don't understand it in your awakened consciousness state. You also have this so-called history that we have referred to. And in your history, once again, before your so-called written history, there was this tendency to exaggerate what had occurred in order to make it seem like something that was supernatural, because then it's much easier to tell the story. And the listeners are much more interested if it's a very embellished, almost beyond something that's possible to occur in your so-called present time and space. And so, while there have been throughout your history occurrences of massive floodings, in order to make it more memorable so that it can be passed on as a recorded history through the use of oral expression, if you make it like your entire earth was covered with water and every creature had to be put upon some vessel, that's much more of an embellished story, much easier to tell, based upon a certain truth. Absolutely, we're not suggesting it's not, but nonetheless, embellished. That's only one example of a type of fact that's been recorded through a oral expression that's passed on and passed on and passed on from generation to generation without the use of the written word. And it's altered and embellished in order to make it more memorable, based on a true fact perhaps, but not nearly as extensive as what the story suggests. And you can find examples of that throughout every mythology, if you wish, that exists. It's rather ironic that one society will look at such a story and say it's an absolute gospel truth, and they will look at a more primitive society that holds a similar type of embellished oral fact that has been passed on. And because of your scientific understanding, look at that other so-called primitive society's belief system and suggest that, oh, that's just a myth. Could never have happened. And yet both are indeed born from a grain of truth of an event that occurred in your so-called history, because you wish to experience that, you wish to believe that it's so. Now, the Atlantean period, to once again go back to answer your question, was a period that was not ended through what you refer to as a flood, although you can throughout various areas of your earth systems find examples of there being extreme flooding. The area that you exist in this particular portion of your earth system at one time was entirely underwater. Not from a flood, from a geological alteration of the plates of your earth. It's that simple. And yet, once again, to be passed on through your so-called oral history and recording, it's much more presentable and memorable if it's looked upon as being some type of a flood that was caused by some supernatural event, because then it's more memorable, then it's easier, then it's a nicer story to listen to. But the Atlantean period, if you wish to have an understanding of the termination of those periods, indeed, the last Atlantean period, you as entities involved in the creation of that process desire to terminate it through the use of an explosion of energy. And as your scientists go down through your so-called levels of history, in several areas they come upon what appears to be the remnants of what you experience now when there is an atomic bomb explosion, where the actual area of your earth surrounding that event is actually in many instances charred and turned into different components of glass-like elements from the intense heat of that particular activity. And so it was that you as entities chose to terminate the Atlantean periods with such an event. The irony of it is that all of that is occurring, if you wish, simultaneously. And you can alter it all. Your past, once again, is altered as easily and as readily as your future. You just don't believe it. You do it all the time. Your entire society, your entire human consciousness does it continuously. And so what we suggest to you at one moment is an occurrence in your so-called past. In the next moment, if you alter your beliefs about your past, you alter the past, and so it all changes anyway. It's really that simple. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold, both past and present. What do you believe? We used to ask that question when someone would come to us with a question about a past, and we would say, what do you believe? And they thought we were putting them off. We were giving them the actual answer. What do you believe? The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold. What do you believe? That's the true answer. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Anybody else?
Do we sense in other incarnations that we are currently involved in to experience a range of emotion that all of the, what we would call it, the human realm that we can imagine? Or are we involved in similar incarnations to the one we are now, where we might be in sort of a similar occupation or similar circumstances economically?
What do you believe? You are involved in other incarnational periods. In your so-called past, and we hesitate to use that terminology because it only applies in your awakened consciousness state, but in your so-called past, in your history, you had a tendency to put in place belief systems in your so-called between incarnational periods and bring it into that incarnational period and put up such a strong veil that the entire existence in that incarnational period was a reflection of the beliefs that you chose and held in an altered state of consciousness. And so you had this perception of fate that it just all occurred. It all occurred and you couldn't have an influence upon it. In fact, you held that belief so strongly that the beliefs that you put in place in that incarnational period and that between incarnational period indeed, if you wish, controlled the whole incarnation, the whole lifetime. It seemed to be just one fate after the other that you had no control over. In that instance, it was quite possible for other entities who were tuned into what you might refer to as the paranormal or the telepathic or the inner source of creation to predict your future. Because you see, your future was pretty much laid out by choices that you made to have experience in an incarnational period. So you went through that without altering it. We hesitate to use the term evolution. But as you altered the energy that makes up this vibrational level, and as you continue to alter it, and in fact at this point are very near the completion of the what you might refer to most extreme alteration that you've had since the Atlantean period, you, in your incarnational period, put in place through choices that you made, certain beliefs that were recorded within what we refer to and what your scientists now refer to as the DNA. And so you, rather than having a reality that was based upon an absolute following of beliefs that you chose in between incarnational period, you put in place many other possibilities. And then depending upon the beliefs that you hold, and also, and the choices and decisions that you have, on the feelings and emotions that you experience in your awakened consciousness state, you have the capacity to alter the energy that surrounds the DNA, and as a result of the alteration of that energy, take what was a possibility and turn it into a probability, so that you can have that experience in that incarnational period, or to reverse a particular experience and change it, alter it, by altering the energy that surrounds the DNA, and as a result altering the entire experience. We've suggested that there are these so-called indigo children that are now in this particular incarnational period who can alter that DNA to the point where the present DNA, to use a reference to your belief in time and space, is not at all comparable to their past DNA. If you were to do some type of a DNA analysis on that individual. In other words, to entirely influence and change their DNA to the point where they alter their entire physical being through choices and decisions, through understanding at a conscious level that they can have what they wish. They don't have to beg for it or ask for it or pray for it. It's theirs. They just reach out and take it. And so if they're experiencing some type of a horrific physical ailment, for example, they make it go away. They make it go away by altering the energy that surrounds the DNA, and they physically alter the DNA to the point where it's not recognizable and the affliction disappears. Now, in your so-called past history, you once again put in place the belief systems in the between incarnational period to have certain experiences throughout that incarnational period. It's important to understand that good or bad, negative or positive, are human awake consciousness concepts. They do not exist at the level from which you create your reality. And so, to have an experience, or the possibility of experiencing certain emotions and feelings, is from your stock of consciousness from which you create your reality, always positive. Always. It's in your awakened consciousness state that you judge it as being positive or negative, desirable or undesirable. And so if you, in your altered state of consciousness, desire to have an existence that's an impoverished existence where you will go through in your awakened consciousness state different types of suffering when compared to an existence where you are in a state of abundance, where you have in your awakened consciousness state a positive experience. Once again, understand that stock of consciousness that creates the reality creates either with equal enthusiasm, without judging whether it's right or wrong. The right or wrong concept, once again, is an awake human consciousness concept. It does not exist at that level from which you create your reality. And so in the between incarnational state, you put in place the beliefs to have the experiences, positive experiences, from that level of consciousness, not negative, always positive, so that you can experience the emotions and feelings associated with that type of an experience. And so, it may have been an experience that you look upon in your awakened consciousness state as being an absolutely glorious incarnation, or it may, in your awakened consciousness state, look at the entire other end of the spectrum. some point throughout existing within this vibrational level, you will, through choices that you make, beliefs that you hold, experience the entire range of emotions in the greatest intensity that it's possible for you to imagine. That's why you're here. The human consciousness had, in your so-called past century, made a consensus to terminate this vibrational level. You had, for all intents and purposes, experienced the full range of emotions and feelings, if you wish to believe once again in your concept of time and space. The human consciousness, however, decided that they would continue with this vibrational level, and in the year of 1987 began to put in place the belief system for the alteration of the energies, which would be completed in the year of 2012, in which you would have the capacity to consciously influence the reality so that you can create from an entirely different manner and experience an intense and different range of emotions and feelings. It's also rather interesting that your so-called prophets in your past have the termination of this existence at the year of 2012. Because you see, at that time, it will be possible, as you have not been possible before in your so-called present civilization or modern civilization since the time of the Atlantean period, to have such a conscious influence upon your reality creation process. And as a result of that possibility to consciously influence your reality, it becomes impossible to predict your future. And so the so-called prophets could not see any type of existence beyond that year of 2012. And so if you couldn't see an existence, oh, it's got to mean the termination of the world. Not at all. It means an alteration in the energy through your choice. It's important to understand that you create your reality. The reality you experience is a reflection of the belief you hold without exception. That's the bottom line. That's the foundation upon which you exist in this vibrational level. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Well now, it has indeed been the most enjoyable interaction with the rest of you, and we would like to express our gratitude once again for your offering us this opportunity. And until the next time, we remind you we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level, and should you choose to interact with us, you have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so until that time, we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.